This is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Monday, March 8th, 2021. I am Buster Olney, working from my home studio in New York. Taylor Schwenk is working from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut. We are only 24 days away from the first pitch of the season. And Taylor, we're going to be talking with Tim Kirkjian today. And I want to make a side bet with you.
What's that, Buster?
I'm going to ask Tim whether or not he's aware of what was said in the Oprah bombshell interview with Harry and Meghan last night. What's going to be your guess about that?
Oh, there's simply no chance that he knows anything about Harry and Meghan Markle and the Royals. No.
Okay, so you're betting no.
Yeah, no. He was watching spring training baseball last night. Were there any games on?
So I will bet you a meal, okay?
Okay, all right.
I will bet you a meal. Because I'm kind of on the fence on it. Like, Tim occasionally, surprising stuff seeps into his brain. Like, okay. you would be surprised. He might even be a little indignant when I asked him the question of whether or not he was aware of the interview last night.
Interesting. Okay, well, I could also see him watching the NBA All-Star game and paying it no mind. So a couple different avenues he could have gone last night. We'll see. I'm excited now.
Okay. Let's do it. Well, you are on the record saying Tim knows nothing about the interview. We'll be hearing today from baseball royalty Clayton Kershaw and dive into the Detroit Tigers as we wrap up our American League Central preview. Before we get to all that, we talked last week about Framber Valdez's broken finger on his pitching hand and how it looks like he'll be out a while. Over the weekend, we learned that Forrest Whitley has been told he needs Tommy John surgery. So for the Astros, a couple of big hits, which I'm sure motivated them to work at a two-year deal with Jake Odorizzi, who is the best available free agent. We have not gotten the financial terms on that, but Jake Odorizzi going to the Houston Astros. Third baseman Jose Ramirez, outfielder Franmil Reyes broke COVID-19 protocols, and so they have now been isolated from the other Indians players. Indians manager Terry Francona detailed how Jose Ramirez and Reyes came forward about breaking the protocols.
The other day after we played the Cubs, you know, they drove over like they're allowed to do, and then I think Franmil went to get a haircut, and our medical people learned about it, so they asked him about it. And then he volunteered that they had actually gone to dinner and were indoors. And it was he and Hosey, and there was a number of other, I think, players and people. But so we sent them home, and we self-reported to the league what they did and then turned it over to the league, and we're waiting to hear back how we need, you know, they have not had access to us from that time. Now we're waiting for the league to tell us what we can do and when we can do it.
And we'll be talking with Tim about that situation, what he thinks about how that played out. The Washington Nationals released reliever Jeremy Jeffress for unspecified personnel reasons. California announced that it's going to allow limited fans at MLB ballparks. The rules take effect on April 1st, which is handy because that's the first day of the baseball season. We'll just have to wait and see where the respective counties are in relation to the coronavirus to determine how many people can actually be in the ballparks. Charlie Morton hit 96 miles per hour on the radar gun. He struck out three in his Braves debut. He looked really good. And on Sunday, so did Brett Gardner against the Phillies.
Gardner hammers that high and deep to right field, and goodbye. A grand slam from Brett Gardner.
That was Ryan Rucco on the YES Network. Yu Darvish debuted with the Padres.
And a swing and a miss, able to strike out Whit Merrifield. First batter that Yu Darvish faces in a Padres uniform, able to strike out to begin the day.
That was Don Arcillo on the Padres television network. Now, before we get to Clayton Kershaw and Tim Kirkjian and Jason Beck of MLB.com, two things I want to mention. First, check out Stephen A's World, streaming weekdays on ESPN+. You can also find the best interviews from Stephen A's World available as a podcast every Wednesday. Listen wherever you get your podcasts and watch Stephen A's World on ESPN+. Check out The Right Time with Bomani Jones. New episodes drop Tuesdays and Thursdays. Last week, Bo spoke with NBA legend Isaiah Thomas about his upbringing on the west side of Chicago, his push for diversity in the coverage of the NBA, and the social construct of race. You can listen to The Right Time with Bomani Jones wherever you get your podcasts.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Seam heads rejoice. This is Timmy time.
Baseball is the greatest game.
With Tim Kirchin.
It never disappoints you.
On Baseball Tonight.
And Tim Kirchin covers baseball for ESPN, Tim. And Tim, we've got a side bet here for the answer from you to this question. Give me some details from last night's interview that Oprah conducted with Harry and Meghan.
Well, I didn't watch it. I was watching the NBA All-Star game. Which again speaks to just how shallow and myopic I am in my life, Buster. I've never hidden the fact. I love baseball. I love basketball. I stink at everything else. And even though my mother, God bless her, was born in England, and we've talked about this whole royal family many, many times, I watched guys dunking it and shooting shots from half court last night. Half court, Buster. Now, if that makes me the worst, most uninformed person in the world, then it's okay. But I read a couple things online today. I was fascinated by what happened last night, and my wife watched every second. So I will get an update as soon as she wakes up.
So what did you read online?
Well, that Oprah, I read somewhere, Oprah was as good as Jordan when he closed out the Utah Jazz. Whatever that means. Jordan was sick and he made a jumper against Byron Russell to win the game. So I assume that meant that Oprah was great and that maybe Meghan and Harry were hiding something along the way. I don't know. I just know I read a little bit and it was very interesting.
What did you learn about Harry and Meghan from what you read this morning?
Well, to be serious for a moment, I think it's really hard being in the royal family.
Yes, I win. Taylor, I win.
I don't know if that counts.
Yes. Oh, yes, it does.
Okay.
He knew some substance there, Tim.
All right.
See, Taylor bet against you. Taylor thought you'd have no knowledge of what happened. I said, no, I think Tim will have a little bit of knowledge. I was kind of on the fence about it, but that was our bet. You won it for me. Thank you. I'm going to take you to dinner on Taylor's tab at some point.
Oh, okay, that's great. I don't think my minor details explain. I know what's going on. I have a rough idea based on watching the Queen years ago, listening to my mom, and reading a little bit this morning.
I am so excited. Woohoo! Yes, Tim. This is why we've been friends for so long, because I know you so well. All right. So you know the Cleveland Indians very well. And yesterday we learned that Jose Ramirez and Franmil Reyes violated COVID-19 protocols. And it's kind of an ugly headline. And I sent out a tweet when I found out about it. But I got to tell you, after this long and how this was handled, we're basically the Indians heard something about it and they asked them, and these two guys immediately said, yeah, we did that. And then they set him to the side. This is different than last year when Mike Clevenger wasn't honest with them about what happened. This is them saying, yep, we did it. And they all shut it down. I don't think it's that big of a deal, Tim.
I agree. It's not good, but it's right. way better than what happened last year. They self-reported themselves One guy, they went out to dinner at an indoor place, which, again, I haven't done in a year. That's not the point. The point is the Indians, Tito Francona told me this a year ago. He goes, our health and safety protocol is like nobody else's. We really are strict with this. And we learned that from Mike Clevenger, and now we've learned it again with these two guys. But this is different. I'm not saying they're innocent. I'm just saying at least they were honest enough to say we blew it. The Indians reported this to Major League Baseball instead of the other way around. And I think that changes a lot here. I think those guys will be back. I think they should be back. But let's hope they learn their lesson again, because we all understand we're not getting through this season unless there's enormous discipline shown by everyone.
Yeah, and to me, in terms of the timing of this, like, these guys are off the field for a few days in early March. We see this every year where somebody's got like a sore arm or, you know, some minor hamstring issue, and they just sit them down for a few days and everything's fine. So the timing of it isn't a big deal at all.
Right. They're going to be fine. Both those guys are going to help the team this year. Lord knows they need them to help the team this year. But again, just the reminder is the Indians are not fooling around on subjects like this. We learned that a year ago. We learned that with Clevenger, and we learned it again. But this is not the same situation.
All right. Over the weekend, the Houston Astros agreed to terms with Jake Odorizzi, who is the best available free agent. And that's not surprising, considering what happened to Framber Valdez with his fractured finger and what they learned about Forrest Whitley. I love this signing. And I got to tell you, I'm surprised in the end that Jake Odorizzi got a deal of just 2 years.
Yeah, he was the best free agent left on the market. He's an above average major league starting pitcher, and he's really going to help the Astros. Now, again, the Valdez injury is significant, at least for the moment, and we can't expect Justin Verlander to come back and just carry the day whenever he gets back, if he gets back. And now we pretty much know Forrest Whitley is going to add nothing. They needed another starting pitcher. But Buster, with Odorizzi, even with the other injuries and issues, you have to put the Astros in the hunt in the American League West. The A's bullpen is really good. It's been rebuilt. But the losses of Hendricks and Semien brings them back to the pack a little bit. So I think Odorizzi gives the Astros at least a fighting chance to win that division and make the playoffs, because they needed another starting pitcher and they got the best one available.
And I feel like that sometime during this year, probably by the time we get to June or July, there are going to be contenders who will look back and say, why didn't we sign this guy to a 2-year deal? That's all he got. Like, it, to me, I had the same reaction with Jackie Bradley Jr. signed. Jackie Bradley Jr. is a good player, and every day he's bringing value on defense. And I think Jake is a good major league pitcher. And I'm surprised that, you know, he winds up getting a 2-year deal, and there'll be contenders that'll regret not making it.
Yeah. Now this story is irrelevant, I think, Buster, but when we did the Puerto Rico game a couple years ago, Francisco Lindor hit a home run in front of the home fans and ran around the bases like he just won the World Series. And I certainly had no issue with it, given the emotional situation that Lindor was in. He hit that homer off of Odorizzi, and the next day I was standing right there. Odorizzi walked up to Francisco Lindor and said, look, I don't know if it matters, but I have no problem with what you did running around the bases. No problem. That told me a little bit about Jake Odorizzi, is that he understood there was a bigger picture here than just a guy maybe being a little too flamboyant running around the bases. He recognized how important that was, that home run was, for the, you know, for Puerto Rico, given everything it had been through with hurricanes and everything else.
All right, give me an injury that you're locked in on early in spring training. I got to tell you, after reading about Alex Bregman having hamstring issues in January and having it linger now, that one for me, the timing of it and knowing how players can have recurrences with hamstring injuries and they can be touchy, that one I have a red flag on. Give me an injury that you're locked in on.
Yeah, I'm worried about that too, Buster, because especially for a little guy who uses his legs, hamstrings can last, man. They can go 2 months and you just don't feel right. And you can't play third base in the big leagues with bad hamstring. I'm going to look at Jared Kelnick, however, who hurt his left knee on a swing. And I only bring that up because I think this might, I don't know, but I think it might be more couple of weeks than a couple of days. And the interesting part with him is I couldn't wait to see him in spring training. And he's taken some really good swings so far. And given everything that Kevin Mather set up here, I was hoping he'd make the team. I was fascinated to see what the Mariners would do if he was good enough to make the team. And now I don't think we're going to get to see that story in full bloom. And that disappoints me, because that would have been one of the great stories to watch for the next 3 weeks.
And I got to say, about his situation, I want to make this absolutely clear. I am not around that team. I have not talked to Jerry DePoto. I have not talked to Jared. But when you read the quotes following the diagnosis, I was like, boy, this is exactly the type of situation where the potential distrust between the player and the team, you wonder how it's going to manifest. Where you have the player who already feels like, based on his comments, that the team has manipulated his service time. Jerry DePoto talking about, how it's going to take some time for him to heal. He didn't say he was going to be out a long period of time. But Kelnick came out and said he's only going to be out a week. And so when I saw the difference in how they cast this, it made me wince a little bit, Tim.
Yeah, and that's, again, what I'm a little bit worried about. So we got to keep our eye on that, just because the dynamic is different given what happened a couple weeks ago with the club president.
So last week, Shohei Ohtani hit a monster home run for the Angels. It went over the batter's eye. He was throwing 100 miles per hour in a live batting practice. And I made some calls in recent days like, boy, does he look different in watching him on television? He just looks more physical. He looks stronger. He's put on 15 pounds. And from what I understand, the Angels, who, of course, been very careful with him in trying to work out a schedule where he could be a two-way player. This year, Perry Manasian just took over as the general manager of the team. I think they're basically like, you know what, just be aggressive. Go out on a daily basis, prepare with bolts. So what he's doing, he's not – in the past, he has played catch separately from the other pitchers with his translator. And this year, they're saying, go and work out with the pitchers, do the PFP, do all that stuff. If you have a side session, you can do that. And when you get that done, go take batting practice and let's try to reduce these rules. Like, he has to have X number of days off if he does this, X number of days off if he does that. They're not locked into him pitching just once a week. They're going to monitor him day to day like they do the other players. And, man, he looks great, Tim.
Yeah, and Buster, again, not to whine here, but this is where not being in spring training really hurts, because you can't see the guy up close. He might look bigger on TV, and he looks bigger to me, but you don't ever really know. And don't take any of this the wrong way, until you see a guy take his shirt off in spring training. Byron Buxton did this a couple years ago, and I went, oh, my God, look how big he's gotten. But we can't do that at the moment. I think getting bigger is a great thing for him. What has always struck me about him is how graceful he is as a runner and how fast he is, and he's a pitcher. But now to be bigger and stronger is only going to help him as a hitter and a pitcher, to put some more weight on that tall, lean frame of his. And again, Buster, anyone who hits at 450 feet and can throw 100 miles an hour, you have to keep that going as long as you can. And I'm sorry, I know you got to keep him healthy above and beyond everything, but I don't see why he can't pitch one night and DH the next. And that's what the Angels are considering doing this year, and I think it's worth a try.
Yeah, I had one evaluator who's seen him this spring say to me, the days of the spindly giraffe, those are over. Like, he, you can tell he looks strong. I am interested, every time Gary Sanchez does something on the field so far in spring training, how many players are chiming in? And let's face it, they're being asked questions on Zoom calls by reporters. But boy, they're talking up Gary Sanchez, and I'm reading the quotes, Tim. I'm not taking them at face value. I think this is a case where the other players understand how much criticism Gary Sanchez has gotten, how the debate in New York was whether or not they should move on and get another catcher. And I can tell you there were folks with other teams who thought the Yankees should move on because he struggled so much defensively. But at the very least, his teammates are being supportive, and Gary's doing some nice things at the beginning of camp.
Right, and I think they're supporting their guy, who has been absolutely crushed the last couple of years, and frankly, deservedly so, because he hasn't been very good behind the plate, and now his offense has taken a move in the wrong direction. But I still can't. I a couple years ago, one of their guys just whispered to me, after Judge had his 50 homer season, the best hitter on our team is Gary Sanchez. So that he could not have lost that skill over the last 2 years. But the heat he took and not catching Garrett Cole and everything else, I think they're running to his support. We'll find out if the Yankees did the right thing by hanging on to him this year. I think they did. What were the options? Trade him for a minor league player, DFA him. Let's give him one more chance to see if he can find that swing. Because when that swing is right, he still has remarkable power.
2 minutes left. Got two questions for you. First, the National League West. What's Trevor Bauer over the weekend pitching with one eye? He closed one eye as he was pitching. He talked about wanting to challenge himself. I don't know anything about that. I do know he looked great. And as I was watching that, Tim, I was thinking, you know what? If you look at these teams and you apply logic, I don't know how you pick anybody else other than the Dodgers to win the National League West. I don't know how you pick anybody else to win the World Series. That team is loaded.
It's so loaded. I'm with you, Buster. I mean, last year, their ERA lead over the Reds, the runner-up, was 0.82. That's the largest gap between one and two in the history of the National League. And now there's a chance their pitching is going to be even better because Trevor Bauer showed up. Tell me where the weakness is on that team. They went 47-13, won the World Series, and they're better. 43-17, won the World Series, and they're better than they were last year. You can't pick anybody else at the moment.
If you told me at the end of the 2021 season that the Dodgers began to flirt with some of the all-time win records, for example, the 98 Yankees won 114, the 2001 Mariners won 116, if you told me that they wound up in that neighborhood, I would not be surprised. What about you?
Well, they're definitely going to win over 100 games. I'm not going to 110. The Padres are too good, and there's some depth in the National League, especially in the East. But I love the Dodgers. I love them even more than I did last year, which is hard to do.
We're going to be running your Clayton Kershaw interview from the other day, the rapid fire. Give me a favorite Clayton Kershaw anecdote.
Well, this was my favorite part the other day. I asked him what new hobbies he's developed during the pandemic and the quarantine. And he very seriously looked into the camera and said, well, my creative writing skills and my artistic drawing skills have gotten significantly better because I've been working with my children and we've been working together on these things. So I just jokingly asked, so are you better at drawing than your kids? And he said, well, no, my six-year-old daughter is way better than I am. And then he had this wry smile on his face. He said, I'm just about as good as my son, Charlie. He's four. That's what he's getting. So Clayton's gotten really good at it, and now he's almost as good as his four-year-old son.
All right, Tim. Always enjoy talking with you, especially in days when you win a bet for me. Woohoo!
Yeah, I usually lose them to you, Buster. I'm glad I won one. And Taylor, we're going to go to my favorite restaurant no matter what. I just hope I don't drop my tray this time, okay?
All right, sounds good.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, a Foxaloner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus Chews provides one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurological disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
As I mentioned, Tim Kirchen did an interview on Zoom with Clayton Kershaw. Please give a listen.
Okay, Clayton, what is the biggest thing you learned from playing through a pandemic in 2020?
I think that's not just like a baseball thing, but I think sports in general are more important than just the game itself, you know? And I think I've learned that from, you know, being in quarantine for that time and missing watching anything on TV sports related. And so, especially after playing this season and realizing that it gives people a way to escape from whatever's going on and be able to watch something that maybe their families watched, maybe they're, you know, they grew up watching with their whole families in their house. And so to me, I think I learned a lot more that sports means a lot of things to a lot of different families out there.
What new hobbies have you developed during the pandemic and the quarantine?
My creative writing and drawing skills with my kiddos have gotten a little bit better. I feel like I have the ability to color and draw a lot better. My rainbow is probably second to none now. You know, some of my make-believe and my imagination has gotten a lot better with my son. My Star Wars knowledge has gone up quite a bit as well. So there's some good things there.
Clayton, can you outdraw your kids, or are they better than you and you're getting better?
No, I can't outdraw my daughter. She's six and she's already way better. And then Charlie's four. So Charlie and I are about on the same level right now, I would say.
Right. Very honest. Okay, switching gears. What was your reaction to the Trevor Bauer signing?
Excited. Yeah, I was fired up. You know, I think he makes us better, bottom line. And I'm excited to get to see, you know, how he goes about it day to day. But I mean, overall, first thought was just excitement.
What are your thoughts on the current state of the Dodgers-Padres rivalry?
I don't know, man. I think we're two good teams, and it's going to be a fun year playing against each other. But I don't know how rivalries start. I don't know what that means. You know, I guess I thought the Giants were a rival, and now, you know, the Diamondbacks were a rival, and now, you know, the Rockies have been good. So I don't know what that means other than we're two good teams trying to win a division.
Clayton, as you know, no team has repeated in 20 years as world champions. Has that discussion been had in your clubhouse?
You know, Doc mentioned it in our opening kind of meetings for spring training. So we know it's a challenge. Winning a World Series period is a challenge, and be able to do it back to back. But, you know, I don't know if a lot of teams have had this talent coming in that we've had. And so we like our chances.
So when you look at the 2021 Dodgers, what do you see?
A team of able to win another World Series.
Okay. Who is the most exciting player in baseball?
Probably Mookie.
In all aspects, correct?
Well, yeah, not pitching, but I would say, yeah, everything else. He's pretty exciting.
Right. Okay. Do you know what your average spin rate is?
No. I do not. I think my fastball is kind of maybe a little bit above average, maybe, but that's really all I know.
So it's not that important to you to know that stuff?
It's a good question. You know, I think, deeper answer is I'm still learning. You know, I think even today I threw a bullpen and was asking about different things with vertical movement and break, and, I don't think any of that can supersede an eye test and what you know is a good pitch and things like that. But I do think at times when you're not synced up or different things like that, having a baseline for what you do well and knowing those numbers and trying to get back to those numbers can be helpful. And that's what I'm learning.
Okay. This question is difficult but harmless. If you had to build the perfect Dodgers pitcher from all the Dodgers this year, all the pitchers, how would you do that?
Okay. So, I mean, I think you'd have to go like just flat out arm speed, and you would go with Walker, obviously. And then I think you would try to find like the perfect body for a pitcher. And I'm trying to think who we have for that. I mean, probably like Dustin May, you know, like tall, lanky, strong, 6'5". And then like, and then what do you look for? I think you try to build pitches after that, right? So best, like, yeah. best breaking ball. You know, Bauer's got really good breaking stuff. We have a lot of options. You know, best changeup, split finger. You could go with Tony Gonsolin there. Best sinker. I mean, we got like seven guys that throw unbelievable sinkers. I mean, you probably go with Trinan. But, you know, Gratterall throws 102-mile-an-hour sinker as well. So those guys are pretty good. Yeah, we have a lot of options to build a good pitcher. That's for sure.
Okay, very good, Clayton.
Thank you so much.
I desperately hope to see you in person someday this year. I'm not counting, but I'll do my best, all right?
It'll happen. I think it will. I'm excited about it. We'll see you soon.
Jason Beck covers the Detroit Tigers for MLB.com. And Jason, the Tigers with a new manager this year, A.J. Hinch taking over for Ron Gardenhire. Every manager has his own style. What feels different with A.J.?
I think the attention to detail, and it's no dig against Gardy, because, you know, Gardy had a huge impact on this team as far as turning him in the right direction. But you get the sense that A.J. has taken a lot of what he learned in Houston in terms of analytics, in terms of the little things adding up to mean a lot, in terms of the at-bats and what you saw from Houston in terms of their progression to becoming a disciplined team that could still hit the ball for power. And he's trying to translate that to Detroit, where, you know, you've got a lineup that is in transition and has been at or near the top of the league in strikeouts and at or near the bottom of the league in walks drawn for the past few years.
Yeah, and it feels like that part of the attention to detail, when they signed Robbie Grossman, I thought that was like the signature event of the Tigers offseason, other than hiring AJ, because it felt like, okay, AJ's trying to change things here. He's bringing in a veteran who he knows from his days with the Astros. He's bringing a hitter who's more patient, and he's kind of hoping this rubs off on some of the younger players they develop.
Yeah. Robbie's kind of the model at bat for AJ, if there is one, in that, you know, he's obviously disciplined. He's a tough at bat, but he's also able to do damage when he connects. And that's what AJ's looking for. He's not just, you know, he keeps preaching that he doesn't want guys to simply go up there looking to draw walks to get on base and hand over to the next guy. You know, he wants guys to feel dangerous up there. And, you know, Robbie's been that example. And it's early, but he's already been preaching that philosophy and giving tips to some of the younger hitters. You know, even Riley Green has talked about learning a ton from Robbie, being in the same batting practice group on some days, learning what to look for as pitcher, you know, are pitchers tipping their pitches, you know, how to approach guys with certain types of repertoires, you know, and that's invaluable. And that's something that frankly the Tigers have lacked in this rebuild.
I think we're going to be talking a lot this year about Miguel Cabrera. You know, he's not the player that he used to be. He's had a lot of injuries in recent years. But as you know, he's just 13 homers shy of 500 for his career. He's just 134 hits away from 3,000. What kind of condition would have you seen in him as he gets ready for this season?
Yeah, you hate to get optimistic because, you know, we've been down this road before more than once. But he does look in good shape. He's moving around well. You can tell he's taken this seriously in terms of wanting to play first base on occasion. That's been a incredible motivation for him, because being almost exclusively a DH for the last season and a half has worn on him. You know, he doesn't feel as much of a part of the action when he's just going up there for his at-bats and then going back into the dugout or back into the cage or back into the clubhouse. And, you know, this, he's being pushed right now, and, you know, he's also talked about, and I found this interesting, about being more vocal and about trying to be a more vocal leader, which is a change for him after leading by example for a lot of years. You know, you've heard him more out there, both in terms of his enthusiasm and in terms of trying to teach guys the right way to do things and trying to pass on some of his knowledge of at bats after, you know, 17, 18 years in the major league.
So I don't think anybody's going to pick the Tigers to win the American League Central, especially given the improvement with the White Sox have had, how good the Twins have been in recent years, the Indians bringing their pitching every year. Even the Royals were aggressive during the offseason. But give me a couple of young players to watch within the Tigers organization. It doesn't have to be someone who's going to be on the opening day roster, but really important players in terms of the team moving forward.
I think somebody to watch right away is Tarek Skubal. You know, he's come in and, you know, there's an aura about him. That he's come in very serious. AJ has noted it about wanting to win a rotation spot and wanting to take some of the hard lessons he learned last year and getting roughed up a little bit and putting that into practice against hitters. And, you know, he has a chance to, as a lefty who's throwing hard and who's looking to, you know, establish himself, he has a chance to make a big impact, you know, even from the outset, even with the innings, I don't want to call them restrictions, but the innings caution that they're throwing up on these guys, not wanting to ramp them up too far above what they did last year since there was no minor league season. I think Skubal could really do some damage here. And as far as the hitters go, you know, I think Willy Castro looks like, you know, even with some of the defensive questions, you know, there's a lot of patience being exercised with him. And I think you're seeing a lot of potential offensively to not only be a good hitter, but to be a real run producer from these guys. He's hitting the ball with impact in spring training. He's showing a lot of confidence, and he's that type of switch hitting, dangerous at bat that can really be showcased in an AJ Hinch type of lineup.
All right, last one for you, and this is actually one about 2022, and I wish I could remember where I first saw this in social media to give credit to the person who had the idea. But when I saw it, I'm like, yeah, I think that's going to happen. A lot of theories that part of the Tigers rotation next year will include Justin Verlander, maybe coming back to the Tigers to finish up your career. Are you buying it as a possibility?
Yeah, I buy it as a possibility. You know, he's beloved in this organization. He's beloved in the city. And, you know, this is still, even with the influx of all these young pitchers, you know, this is still going to be an organization that's probably going to be looking for a veteran or two to help lead these guys along next year. And, you know, they didn't sign anybody the big, you know, long-term deals. Yes, they do have Matthew Boyd, who could be here next year unless they trade him or do something else. But Daniel Norris is up for free agency after next season. You know, we're still looking to see what goes on with Fulmer going forward. You know, you can make a rotation spot for Verlander, and, you know, we've seen the impact he has on guys. And, you know, would it be a chance to win a World Series right away? No, and that would be, you know, one of the drawbacks is that, you know, it's not necessarily a plug-and-play situation where you add him and then you immediately look to contend deep in October. But if you're looking to make a statement that you're serious about getting this team back into the postseason, you know, that's a pretty strong statement to make. And I think, you know, with a shorter term deal, yeah, I think it would be, you know, a statement this team would be interested in making.
And of course, he's going to miss all or almost all of this season after having Tommy John surgery at the end of last season. And who was his manager, his last manager? How about A.J. Hinch, you know, who let go by the Astros, replaced by Dusty Baker. But A.J. and Justin know each other well now. As you say, he's beloved in Detroit. He's probably worth more to the Tigers than any other organization. And I do think at some point, some of these numbers, if he comes back healthy and is feeling good, some of these numbers that are out there for him to go and get, the Tigers probably be an organization that would work with him to give him the best chance to get those numbers. So I'm going to be intrigued next offseason when Verlander becomes a free agent. All right, Jason, thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Buster.
Bleacher Tweets.
All righty, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for Monday. First up, we have our guy, Brian Stone King. And I should have led into this without any words attached, but he sent in some bird sounds.
Can you hear him, Buster?
That's school sweat.
Man, I love that. We got to get, you know what? As we move forward, I hope more people send in bird sounds. I wonder what that first bird sound was, what kind of bird that was. Because those early sounds you heard in that bite, Those birds sounded aggressive. Like, I could imagine cats hearing that sound and be like, whoa, watch out.
Yeah, and he's in Southern California, so they could be year-round birds. You know, we are specifically right. looking for spring birds, but we'll take it. Thanks for
we'll take it. We'll take birds.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the sound, school. Next up, we got P.K. Steinberg. At P.K. Steinberg, he writes in, there was some talk in the offseason that the baseballs would be made differently for the season. Are you hearing anything from pitchers, fielders, or hitters about that yet?
No, because they don't have access to them. I was talking about this with a evaluator the other day about the strange situation baseball's in, where, you know, apparently these baseballs are going to be different. And guess what? The folks don't have access to it. Can you imagine if they were to, like, tell the NBA players, oh, yeah, we're going to have a different basketball this year, but we're not going to have them widely available during preseason. Right? I mean, that would be insane, but the situation we're in. And it kind of underscores how crazy this whole situation is with the baseball in recent years, how it seems to be changing and no one really, there's no transparency to it. And I think there really needs to be.
Don't mind the man behind the curtain here. No big deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Next up, we got Andrew Krutz at Krutz_Andrew. He writes in, hey, Buster, how does your brother feel about your lawn obsession?
I get the feeling Andrew probably knows my brother based on the nature of that question. My brother is a logger in the state of Vermont, a farmer. I want to say he owns 100 acres. And so I'm sure he is greatly amused when I start talking about my little lawn here down just in New York, feeling like, you know what, my brother's become a flatlander.
Oh, those are fighting words. As
those are fighting words. And I'm sure that he in his heart probably feels that way.
I'm going to throw a curveball at you. Last one for today. I have a little sound drop here. Who is this person saying hello to you, Buster?
How we doing? How we doing?
Because I'm keeping that in the sound bank right there. Do you know?
No, I don't.
That's Bryce Harper. That's your best buddy. You guys, wow. from your little interview, that's how he greeted you. I thought that was so nice that he sounded genuinely excited to talk to you.
Well, you know what? We got to talk on Friday, and then we talked again on Saturday on another project. So Bryce and I were hanging out over the weekend. No, just kidding. He was actually great, though. Both interviews, he really gave a lot of thought and pitched himself into it, which is pretty good.
Good stuff from Bryce Harper and good stuff from Bleacher Tweeters. Thanks for writing in, everyone. Please do subscribe to, rate, and review this podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
That's it for today. My thanks to Clayton Kershaw, to Tim Kirchen, to Jason Beck, and to Taylor Schwenk. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.